You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
God is at work in our city, and as we talk about the power of God is what we're talking about today. Our word with friends is power, that God wants to do things with great power. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is where we're going to be in the scripture. And God wants to move in power throughout our city. I love what he's doing through our church, throughout our city, that in Houston 1-8, we're going out to 16 different sites to do ministry throughout our city. Be a part of that. It's an amazing thing. I love what God's doing throughout our city and our different campuses and downtown. I've gotten to be with them this semester. In Siena, I'll get to be with you guys. Been down there a bunch, but get to be with them in Siena in a couple weeks. Here at the Loop, to be here and to see what God's doing here. Last week, I got to be with Cyprus and what God's doing at Cyprus all throughout our city. I just want to tell you just a personal, special moment that happened at Cyprus last week. I became a Christian when I was 16 years old. I was a sacker at Randall, so as I always tell you, tip your sacker because he may be your pastor. And somebody shared Christ with me, and then they took me over to their youth minister's house, and then their youth minister shared Christ with me, and he told me about the gospel, the good news of Jesus had died for my sins and wanted to forgive me of my sins and live in my heart. And so there off Aleve Claudine Road, I prayed with a man named Dennis Perry to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was hem-hawing around. I don't know. Until finally Dennis said, in all the love he could muster up, he said, "Look, Greg, it's getting late. You either need to get saved or go home. That's what you need to do." I was like, "Wow, you Christians are tough." And so I prayed and received Christ as my Savior right there, and Dennis became my youth minister, and then Dennis was who I interned under as, when I was a youth ministry intern, and then he performed the wedding ceremony of Kelly and I's wedding, and last week at Cyprus, somebody joined the church, and his name was Dennis Perry. I want to show you the picture of Dennis and Patricia Perry, and they became members of our church, and so how crazy is that? Is the man that led me to Christ, I'm now his pastor. What an amazing thing that is. As they came down front, and I just was blown away, and just right there in that cafeteria in Cyprus, God's moving in power. God's doing amazing things. The kindness of God to allow him to allow me to receive them as a new member there at our church. What a great thing that God is doing throughout our city. God is moving in power. And that's the word for the day, is power. The power of God in us, but the power of God, that he has great power. You know, we love power as humans, don't we? We love to talk about power. That's why we got power aid we can drink. We got power ties we can wear to important meetings. When we get tired, we can have a power nap. We need a power bar. We can watch cartoons of the Power Rangers. All of us are pressing power buttons on our computers and our phones. We get a little too big for our britches and we'll say that we've gone on a power trip. But here's the deal, is God is the one who's got great power. He's the one that has the power that holds it. And it's God's power that we want to be about. I want to show you in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and I'm coming with these verses of Scripture in my heart, because when you want to talk about the power of God, when you want to preach about the power of God, let me tell you what, you're behind the eight ball already. How could I do justice to the power of God? Listen to this verse of Scripture. I've claimed it a million times in my own life. "When I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." God's greatest power was shown actually when it would appear to be his greatest weakness, but it's his power in the crucifixion and the cross. Verse 3, "I came to you. I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not persuasive words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." I've claimed that verse 100 million times. That I don't come to you in persuasive words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the power of God. Why? So that your faith may not rest on the power of man or the wisdom of man, but on the power of God. So let's just talk about, let's dream about, let's imagine. We can never even explain it clearly enough. What is it to talk about the power of God? Well, we got to begin by saying this: God's power is unlimited and unmatched. His power is unlimited and unmatched. When we talk about Satan, when we talk about the devil, when we talk about the enemy, he's not the antithesis. It's not just that God's got power and then Satan's got equal power on the dark side. His power, God's power, is unlimited and unmatched. For the enemy is a defeated foe. Satan has head has been crushed. He has bruised the heel of Christ, but Christ has crushed his head. For he knows that his days are short, and that his power is fleeting, but yet in this world, he's got a lot of power. But God's power is unlimited, it's unmatched, it's great, it's mighty. Power is mentioned almost 400 times in the Bible. It's mentioned over and over. How great is his power? Let's just listen to his power in Isaiah chapter 40. All of the chapter you could read and look, but I'm going to show you just verse 21 through 26. We'll put it on the screens. Here it is. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? What is that? That's creation. Have you not considered the foundations of the earth? God is enthroned above the circle of earth. Its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a thin cloth. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. He reduces princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth to be irrational. They are barely planted, barely sown. Their stem hardly takes root in the ground. When he blows on them, and they wither. And a whirlwind carries them away like stubble. Who will you compare me to? Who is my equal? Asked the Holy One. Look up and see who created these, being the stars, who brings out the starry host by number. He calls them by name. Remember in Genesis when he said, Abraham, your descendants will be of these stars? He calls them all by name. He knows them each by name. Because of his great power and strength, none of them is missing. God's power is great, it's mighty, it's unmatched. The stars declare his power. He's seen all of the kings of the earth from birth to the grave. He's seen them go from diapers to dust. He is God Almighty. If he set up a throne, his one leg of the throne would be at one corner of the earth and another leg at the other corner. He is great and he is mighty. Who could you compare him to? And yet the grasshoppers speak against the Creator. And they declare that we can hop so high. And God is unmatched in his might, and he is unlimited in his power. Let's just take, for example, lightning. Just one little piece of creation, one little thing. We could talk about the sun. We could talk about the earth. We could talk about the sky. We could talk about all different things. Let's just talk about lightning for a second. Scientists estimate that throughout the earth, 360,000 lightning flashes occur per hour. 360,000 per hour. It's computed by General Electric officials that the average lightning bolt has a voltage of 1 million and a current of 100,000 amperes and the energy of 4 kilowatt hours. Thus, one lightning flash could keep a house lit for 35 years. One bolt of lightning can keep your house lit. Think how much electricity money you'd save this summer if we could just figure out how to do that. 35 years. One lightning bolt has the energy to lift the 51,000-ton ocean liner called the United States, 6 feet in the air. Let me show you a picture of this ocean liner. One bolt of lightning can lift that boat 6 feet in the air. 360,000 bolts happen in an hour. God holds him in his hands. He's unmatched in his power. He's unlimited in his power. He is God of the universe. He is great and he is mighty. And yet we are so, Lord, can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you do it? He's unmatched in his power. Who is like him? So now we have the question. The question is a question of trust. It's not a question of power. It's a question of trust. Is our trust in the power of man? or in the power of God? Is our trust in the power of man or in the power of God? Paul answers that question in the passage that we went over, that we read. He says, I do not come to you with persuasive words of wisdom, but I come in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. I don't come in brilliance. No, I come in fear and in trembling. What he is saying is, in the power of man, think how powerful Paul is. It's a powerful human being, the Apostle Paul. Made a tremendous mark on the earth. We're still talking about him today. And yet he steps forward and he says, in my power and in my strength, I'm coming to you in fear and trembling. Not in brilliance, though he's well-schooled. Not in wisdom, though he has sat under the teachers of that day and age that are just amazing. I'm coming to you in fear, trembling, and I'm just coming, just saying, I just want to stick as close to the cross as I possibly can. Only thing I'm going to talk about is Jesus and Jesus crucified. Paul is clinging to the cross. He's just clinging to it, saying, I'm not coming with brilliance. We have a decision in our lives every day on what power we're going to trust in. Is it our own power or is it the power of God? See, the wisdom of man is foolishness. In 1 Corinthians, we'll see that power is all throughout 1 Corinthians. In verse 24, it says this, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. So Paul humbly trusts in the power of God through the cross. But let's be honest. Let's just be honest with one another. This is how I feel sometimes. I know God's powerful. I've studied God is powerful. I'm preaching God is powerful. I've seen God is powerful. But there's times in our world where I'm looking today going, Lord, where are you? Where are you? I'm reading the paper and it's page after page of either declared something is wrong that's declared to be right or something that we all know is wrong. Sometimes you can't even read the newspaper out being defiled. Like, why do I need to hear about such murder and such strife? And it seems like, where are you, Lord? It's a tough place to live in this time, isn't it? Because it seems like the power of God has been thwarted by man. It seems like somehow the grasshoppers have taken over. And this has been the phrase in my mind, the arrogance of man causes us to doubt the power of God. The arrogance of man causes us to doubt the power of God. Peter Williams preached a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 28, verse 17, talking about doubt. And it said, when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. It was baffling that people could see God, see Christ, the resurrected Christ, and still doubt. What an amazing thought that is. When we see things, even when we see the things of God, we can still have doubt in our heart. And when we see people raise up and shake their fist at God, and you're like, Lord, they keep getting away with it. They keep getting away with it. They keep getting away with it. Why did the wicked prosper is what it says in Psalms. And it seems like the arrogance of man causes us to doubt the power of God. How can this be, Lord? How can this be? Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. It's a great verse of scripture. You know the passage, you've heard of it before. It's a passage where it's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was no man that was more arrogant than Nebuchadnezzar. No man that thought his power was greater. No grasshopper that thought he could leap higher. And yet Nebuchadnezzar built this idol to himself, basically, and said, everybody's going to bow, and if you don't bow, we're going to throw you in the furnace of fire, and we're going to kill you. And there was three men that said, we're not going to bow. And so their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and this is what it says, beginning in verse 15. Now, if you are ready, this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking to them, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, or the lyre, the harp, the drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I have made. But if you do not worship it, you will immediately be thrown into the furnace of fire. And who is, listen to this arrogance, who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Who's the God that can rescue from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, they knew he exists. It was kind of a rhetorical statement. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from this furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you to know, as king, to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with rage. And then you know the rest of the story. They were thrown in the furnace and there was a fourth man. It's Jesus is who it is. The fourth man's walking around in the furnace and they pull him out of the furnace and they don't even smell like smoke. Because God was there. And so I tell us in this time, in this section of life, in this chapter of life, we've been given an unusually difficult privilege of living in such a time as this. To be able to stand, because here's the deal. It's either all going down. It's either revival or it's return of Christ. Those are the only two things that are going to happen. But the way that we're heading right now as a culture is not sustainable. It cannot last. It will implode at a certain time. I don't know when. At some time, we are at speed, at light speed, heading away from the things of God. And God in his power stands with his love and beckons out and says, come to me. I've got the salve for your broken heart. I've got the security for your insecurity. I've got the forgiveness for your shame. I've got love that is so great for you. In my power, in my holiness, comes my love. It comes cascading as a Niagara Falls to the one that is furthest from God. And so as it seems as if God's power is thwarted, it has not been thwarted at all. We stand in the power and love. It seems like his power has been thwarted. Why? Two reasons we think his power has been thwarted. Two reasons. Number one, his purposes and timing are different from ours. His purposes and timing are different from ours. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So we have to realize that his purposes are different than ours. His timing is different than ours. So when we look at this world that really nobody would declare this is going great. I mean, nobody. If you think I'm trying to make some kind of political statements, you're shooting too low. I'm making declarative statements about the nature of man compared to what God's will is on earth. His purposes, though, and his timing are far beyond our measuring out, aren't they? And so we sit back and we say, Lord, for some reason, you've given us this moment and this time in a culture that is anti many of the things of God. July 6th, I know many of you might be traveling, but I want to encourage you to catch the webcast because we're going to talk about revival. That's going to be our word, revival. We're going to beckon the Lord for it because it's either revival or it's return. Those are the only two things. The grasshoppers think we build more straw and it'll last forever. It's either revival or it's the return of Christ. Those are the choices. And you know what? For those who know Jesus, both of them are great. Both of them are great. So we think and we miss his purposes at times. And we miss his timing at times. And his purposes, we have to surrender to that. And his timing, we have to surrender to that. God always seems early to me or he always seems late, but he's always on time, isn't he? His purposes are usually not what I would do, but he's God and I'm not. I make a sorry follower. I'd be even worse king of the universe. The Lord is the one with the purposes and the timings of God. So don't let it be frustration building. Let it be faith building in your life. The kingdom of God, in 1 Corinthians again, chapter 4, verse 20, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. That's what he's got, his purposes. Number two, we think that his purposes are thwarted, but he is at work. He is at work. We may be looking at the wrong gauges. We may be looking at the wrong gauges. So we're looking at miles per hour, and he's looking at the odometer. We're looking at RPMs, and he's looking at miles per hour. We may be looking at this and say, Lord, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? And he says, if you get your eyes on me, you'll realize I'm doing this, not that. And then we say, it is well with my soul, Lord. I give it to you. See, we've got to be the kind of people, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're not a believer in Christ, I'm so glad you're here. Come, keep coming. We have what you need. His name is Jesus. And when you don't know Christ, because I've been in that place, I remember not knowing Christ. I told you about my youth minister leading me to the Lord. Here, I'm looking at the wrong gauges the whole time. And I got to look up and go, what's the right gauges for eternity? I had a good friend, said something so great. He said, in a prayer time, he said, may we be awkward on earth because we're right with God in heaven. Instead of being right on earth and being awkward in heaven. Let's get the right gauges to be able to understand what God is doing and look at the right things. And the right gauge is not me, it's him. And so I say, Lord, you are at work, whether I can see it or not. Proverbs says, when the mouth smiles, the heart can still ache. So let me not be deceived by all the plastic in the world. And let me come and see that you are at work even in hearts of lives. You take a king's heart and you turn it like a water course. You're able to do your work. Proverbs 21:1, I believe. He is at work. A little boy was on a plane and sat down next to a seminary professor, and they started talking about the Lord, and the seminary professor said this to the little boy. He said, I'll give you an apple if you'll tell me one thing that God can do. And the little boy replied back, and he said, I'll give you a barrel of apples if you'll tell me one thing God can't do. Out of the mouths of babes, I'll give you a barrel of apples to tell me one thing God can't do. He is at work, whether we see it or not. We trust it. We believe it. Even at the cross, the disciples thought, where's God? It's dark. The sun has hidden its face. But the Roman soldier said, surely this is the Son of God. Different gauges being looked at, even on the cross. Second point, God's power trumps man's wisdom. God's power trumps man's wisdom. That's why Paul comes and he says, my speech and my proclamation are not persuasive words of wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and his power. Verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So that your faith may not be based on man's wisdom, but on God's power. God's power trumps man's wisdom. Man's wisdom is temporary and temporal. God's power is permanent and eternal. So Paul says, look, I'm coming in. My whole mission to the book of Acts, we saw him through Acts, is to declare the coming of the Lord, to declare that God is powerful. And I'm declaring it, and it's not my wisdom. Don't look at my wisdom. God's power, that's what our faith has to set on. And verse 5 says, the bedrock of our faith is the power of God. And God's not going to always do what you and I think is the wisest call. And when that happens, we say, Lord, you're wiser. As we looked in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, the wisdom of man is the weakness of God. The strength of man is the weakness of God. God's wisdom is stronger. God's power and God's wisdom is Christ. God's foolishness is wiser than humans' wisdom. Rest your faith on the power of God, not the decorations of man. Oh, we can decorate ourselves as grasshoppers, can't we? Who's the prettiest grasshopper? Who chirps the loudest grasshopper? Who hops the highest grasshoppers? Who cares, grasshoppers? God is the one. I was speaking in Dallas. It was many years ago, and I was walking back into the hotel. I'd gone a little run around the hotel. I was going in to shower, and they were going to pick me up and take me to the church where I was speaking. And so I was walking back in, and I noticed the newspaper rack where you put in your 50 cents and pull the door, and they always have the headline in the front section, you know, the front window of that newspaper rack. And as that newspaper rack was there, I walked by, and it caught my eye because it just said one word across the top. And I got it, and I went up to my room, and before I showered, I found my 50 cents, and I came back, and I put it in there, and I bought the newspaper because I wanted to keep it because it was such a great thing. There was an electricity failure up in the Northeast in New York City, and it had shut down the city. The subways were shut down. All of Times Square went dark. All the offices went dark. Everything went down, and people began to walk home across the Brooklyn Bridge and across all these bridges to go home. And the headline, this is the newspaper of the Dallas Morning News, was this: powerless. Think of all the decorations of New York. Powerless. And I tell you, the power of God through Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit that dwells in your heart if you're a believer. And without the Holy Spirit of God, you're powerless in your wisdom. You're powerless. But man, I'm Times Square. You're off. I'm the subway. You're stopped. You're powerless, and I'm powerless without the power of God. And here's the great thing that's happened. God, in his power and creation to make lightning that he holds in his hands, sent his one and only son. First John chapter 1 verse 14, my memory verse for the week. Let's see if I get it right. For he came, oh goodness gracious, now in front of thousands of people. What is it? For he took on flesh and he dwelt among us. So that the one and only Son of God came from the Father, and we beheld his glory filled with grace and truth. That God sent his one and only Son, and then he took on flesh and dwelt among us. The Word took on flesh and dwelt among us. And now Christ came on earth to die on the cross. Paul said, I know nothing but Christ crucified. Why? So that we could come and cling to the cross in salvation and say, Lord, I want you to wash my soul clean, and I want you to do your work in me. So now the Holy Spirit dwells in my life and in my heart, and now I have power in him. The power of God rests in the believer in Christ. Being a Christian is not about you don't cuss anymore, not about you don't do this anymore, you don't do that anymore. It's about the power of God takes over your life so much. You don't want to do that stuff. Why would you want to do that stuff? And obedience comes from love and power in your life. So there's three things in particular that God gives us power over. What are they? When you see power in the Bible, it's usually connected with deliverance. Let me give you a few things, each out of 1 Corinthians. Number one, there's victory in temptation. Victory in temptation. 1 Corinthians, power over temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, for no temptation has overtaken you except which is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation will provide a way of escape so that you can bear up under it. God gives us power through the Holy Spirit over temptation. He gives us endurance in trials. He gives us endurance in trials that we would be able to walk out in trials. It says in Corinthians as well, it says that My strength is perfected in your weakness. And so God gives us strength in the weakness that we have. And he gives us endurance in our trials. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. For greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. For come to me all who are heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. For take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy. That word easy means kind in the Greek. My yoke is kind and my burden is light. And so God can take us through our trials. And number three, and finally, he can bring us to a place of living with impact. Of living with impact, that we have the power in our lives to live with impact. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. For I labor and I strive with all of his power that works so powerfully within me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You ever heard that verse? For then the Holy Spirit will come upon you in what? In power. And then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, that God has given us power, not in our own strength, but in the strength of God and through Christ. So let me wrap this whole thing up together. God is unlimited and unmatched in his power. He holds lightning bolts in his hand, and 360,000 of them during this worship service will have gone down to earth, planet earth, on this just 1 hour. And each one of those could lift that ship 6 feet in the air. God is unmatched in his power, and he sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the power of God. And it may seem as if our world is turned upside down, but we trust in his purposes. We trust in his timing. He is at work, and it's either going to be revival or return. That's the only two choices. So we want to be right with God. We want to be with God. We want to know Jesus as our Savior. We want to trust him as a believer in Christ. Because the grasshopper's reigning will not last. So we come and we say, Lord, you've given us victory over temptation. You've given us victory in hard times and our trials. And you've given us power. I'll give you a barrel of apples if you can tell me something God can't do. Through you and through me. So the ending of this message is a call for you and I to live in the power of God. Not in your strength, not in my strength. Let's don't rest our faith on the wisdom of men. Let's rest our faith on the power of God. And let's pray like we never prayed. And let's serve like we never served before. And let's pray and study and seek and say, Lord, I trust in your power alone. In Siena, Cyprus, downtown in the Loop. You're the gauge we're looking at. And you're the power we need. I don't need Powerade. I don't need a power bar. I don't need a power nap. I need to show up for a power tie. I need to watch the Power Rangers. I don't need to go on a power trip. I need to trust in the power of Jesus Christ in my heart and life. Will you come to that power? Do you know Christ as Savior? If you do, are you trusting him to fight for you? The world's gone crazy. It's been crazy a long, long, long time. And God has been God a long, long, long time. And I'm going with God. That's where I'm going. I'm going with God. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord, and we're trusting in his power and his grace.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.